You're listening to Interviews with Adam. I'm your host, Adam Miller. And today, as we continue through this Advent series, thinking about all the things we're going to be anticipating in our celebration of Christmas Day, we are joined by Betsy Howard, who is the author of a book called Seasons of Waiting, Walking by Faith When Dreams Are Delayed. It's a great privilege to have her as a part of the many voices for that one message. So, Betsy, thank you so much for joining us on the program today.
Thank you for having me.
Why don't you get started by telling us a little bit about your background and the connection that you have with this book, Seasons for Waiting. Although we are in a season of waiting with Advent, it's not particularly what you were writing this book about. So maybe you can give us a little bit of a kind of a foundation of what you mean in this book and how it connects to you personally.
Yes. So this book came about after I had a season of prolonged singleness. I really wanted to be married, and that didn't happen in my 20s or even in my early 30s. And that made me wrestle quite a bit with what God's purpose was in that, and whether that was something that he wanted me to, a desire that he wanted me to set aside in order to do other things, whether I was being sinfully discontent. So I thought about it quite a bit and learned a lot as I searched the scriptures on the theme of waiting, particularly on waiting for a husband. And I was living in Alabama at the time and was, I think, 33 when I started writing the book. So that's what it came out of. But as I looked at the scriptures, I realized that waiting for marriage wasn't a unique thing, that there's many other kinds of waiting that run through scripture as well as run through our lives. So in the book, I cover five different areas of waiting: waiting for a bridegroom, waiting for a child, waiting for a home, waiting for healing, and waiting on a prodigal, which could be either a prodigal spouse or a prodigal child. So I look at each of these in the book as biblical themes, and I also look at them as a subject that or conflicts that Christians are facing right now, and try to figure out how can we wait well in those seasons. And my own life has changed quite a bit since I started writing the book. I met my husband and we got married, and I moved from Alabama to New York. I live here in Manhattan now, so I'm no longer waiting on marriage, although we've been married 2.5 years and we've not been able to have children. So now another aspect of waiting is a really present thing in my life.
It is interesting. There does seem to be seasons where we're all waiting for something, and that kind of built up of time spent waiting can often cause a little bit of pain and anxiety and hurt in our lives. But in the book, you kind of talk about the importance of using those as opportunities to see what we're missing and finding it really in Christ, isn't it?
Yes, and I think as Christians, we can sometimes feel guilty if we feel that there is a lack in our life, because we know that Christ is meant to be all sufficient and he is all sufficient. But I think that feeling of lack can sometimes be a God-given thing, not because Christ isn't enough, but because we haven't yet experienced the fullness of his kingdom come. He has come to us, but we still are waiting for his return. So when we realize that life is not all that we hoped it would be, whether it's because our family doesn't look like what we thought it would be, or we don't have the type of home that we thought we might have, or we're lonely, those are all things that point us to the fact that this world is not our home, and that God has something beyond this life for us. So for me, it was important to realize that the fact that there was a lack in my life, that it could be a sort of holy discontentment of longing for the fullness that will come in the new heavens and the new earth, it didn't necessarily mean I was being sinfully discontent.
A lot of time when we are, focusing on the things that we're missing out on, our attention is taken off of Christ. Our attention is taken to the things in this tangible world where moth and rust corrupt. How do you focus on those things and see that holy discontentment, and then parallel that with a higher intention looking forward to another kingdom?
I think a big piece of that is being a part of the body of Christ. So if you are a part of the body of Christ, you can be honest about your disappointments, honest about your desires and what you're waiting on. But then my hope is that believers will throw themselves into serving others, looking beyond themselves, never not faking a joy or a contentment that's not there, but instead learning to wait well by pouring yourself out on behalf of others. And it's amazing how many gifts God gives us through the people of God. For example, I don't have children right now, but in being a discipler of others and in sharing my faith and serving families in my church, I can have a mothering role, even if I am not a mother biologically. So I think that rather than fixating on the thing that we don't have, we should try to seek to be a fully integrated part of the body of Christ and look for ways in which God might fulfill some of those longings in a way that we didn't expect through other members of the body of Christ.
And I think in the context of what we're doing here in the holiday season, we're celebrating Advent. It's meant to be a season of waiting and to celebrate on Christmas Day. We have the Advent calendars, which kind of postpone the celebration of the gift giving on Christmas. This is also a season where we can be looking around at others who are in a season of waiting in their life and can come around them. Isn't that kind of what you're kind of referencing here in this book, that the idea of the community coming together during those seasons of waiting?
Yes, definitely. You know, if you think about getting ready for Christmas, we are very busy. There's so many things to do. There's shopping, there's decorating, there's cooking, there's sending Christmas cards. We don't sit around and idly wait for Christmas. And there can be some parallels with waiting for Christ's second coming, that we should be active waiters. We don't just sit around and mourn because he's not here yet. There's many things to do to get ready. One of those things is to tell others that Christ is coming, Christ will return. We also can build up the body of Christ, meet the needs of others, give to those who have less than we have. And all of that helps prepare us to be ready. And it tells the world that we are not looking to this life to satisfy us. We expect something better to come. Therefore, we can make sacrifices. We can put others above ourselves in this life because we're really waiting for something better.
When it comes to waiting, there comes a lot of impatience. And I think in all aspects of life, when we are becoming impatient, it become a focal point. It causes us to focus on the thing that we're lacking. How do you address that? How do you focus on the thing that you really want, the desire of your heart, and not just replace it with Jesus, but to really go deeper into that waiting to see it for what it truly is, an opportunity to grow?
I wish I had a magic formula. I don't, but I can say the spiritual disciplines of the Christian life are a big part of that. Daily time in God's Word, letting it reorient our priorities. Prayer is communion with God, and building your relationship with Him will help you trust that His timing is perfect rather than that He is withholding something good from you. So I think mostly what I would say is, seek to believe the promises of God. Seek to see this life from His perspective and not your own. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And on top of that, you can confess your impatience. If every day you feel impatient for things that God hasn't given to you, you can be honest about that and confess and repent of that every day. And you can also ask God, if those are good gifts that you're waiting for, you can ask God to bring you those things. So all of the regular disciplines of prayer, confession, scripture, fellowship with other believers, those are all things that can help us subdue our impatience in faith as we wait for God's goodness.
I think of the idea that many of us want to approach our stress and anxiety or even impatience with a quick solution, you know, let go and let God. It falls short after the extended period of time of waiting, where we really need to have a greater resources to pull on as we work through these issues of waiting together in a community. So I think you're on to what we are lacking is focusing not so much inwardly, but focusing outwardly as being part of the body of Christ. Is that kind of what you're saying?
Yes, that's very true. I would also say there is inward work to be done. For me, I realized a lie that I was believing was that God had this waiting in my life, and it would last until I learned my lesson, And then he would let me move on to something else. But what I came to see was that I'll always be waiting on something. And God didn't have some theological lesson for me to learn, and then he would give me the thing that I wanted. Instead, he wanted me to draw near to him and to need him, to need him in a daily way, to have my lack throw me on his sufficiency. So I would say, in addition to that external component of seeking to put others before yourself, there's that internal component of lean hard on the Lord and let him give you something even better than the gifts that God might give you is the giver himself. So rather than seek to learn your lesson so that you can have the prize that your heart desires, pray that God would make the desire of your heart himself.
You obviously experienced the struggle of waiting in your own life, and you write this book from your experience, but also really rooted in the Word of God, and we see these examples throughout Scripture. I'm sure you found great comfort in that, but explain to our listeners how this is so thematic throughout Scriptures, the idea of waiting and building up this anticipation.
Well, there's lots of characters in Scripture that are waiting, and we can pick up sort of practical godly nuggets from how they waited or how they didn't wait well. You know, sometimes the negative example is instructive. But in addition to that, we see themes in salvation history of waiting and fulfillment. So the main thing that people were waiting for throughout the Old Testament and into the New was the coming of the Messiah, the one who would make right what was wrong with the world, who would pay the penalty for our sin. So you see that in the nation of Israel waiting for a Messiah. You see that in figures like Abraham, who had no child, and God had promised that his descendants would be numerous as the sands of the sea, and he didn't know how God was going to fulfill that. He had to wait and wait by faith, even though he could see no way of God fulfilling it, yet God did. And that fulfillment of that promise to Abraham was one in many steps of the fulfillment of his promise to bring the Messiah. So you see that leading all the way up to the birth, death, and resurrection of Christ, waiting for the Messiah. Now, in the new covenant, we are waiting for Christ's return. He's already dealt the death blow to Satan. We know that he has conquered death, but he has not returned to put all evil under his feet and to judge the world and to give us a new heaven and a new earth when there is no sickness or sorrow. So we're just as much as those Old Testament believers were waiting on the Messiah, we are waiting on our Messiah to return and make everything new. So I love that we have stories of people waiting because they're little microcosms of what all of life is as we wait for Christ's return.
Hmm. There's an aspect here in the waiting where we have we're just powerless, right? There's no sense of drumming up, you know, any sound or fervency that's going to cause the waiting to be over in and of itself. And there's that aspect of relying upon God to come in and rescue us in his perfect timing. This is a matter of teaching us patience, which we all need to learn, but also dependence upon Christ our Savior, isn't it?
That's exactly right. One of my very favorite scenes in the Bible is when the Israelites need food in the desert. God provides manna for them. They have to learn that they can only gather it one day at a time. They can't store it up except for on the Sabbath. They have to go to bed without any food, believing that the next day there will be food from God. So it takes them a while to learn that lesson, and then they learn it. But it's still the plan that God has for them. They eat manna daily for 40 years. God didn't have a lesson for them to learn and then to cease. Then they didn't need to rely on him anymore. Rather, he wanted them to be in daily reliance upon him. So the fact that waiting exposes our weaknesses and our vulnerability is actually a good thing because God wants us to bring those daily to him, to walk in daily fellowship with him, to have him meet the needs that are not being met in the earthly ways that we expected. So I think it's really a gift when we are it's not easy. It's not a happy gift, but it's a wonderful gift when we can feel our own weakness and learn to daily depend upon God.
When we think about waiting, you're trying to sell waiting here in the book, not sell it, but to to really convince the reader that to take advantage of the time of waiting, to not lose the value of what it means to trust in God during those seasons. What would you say to our listeners who are really struggling in their time of waiting, and they feel that ultimately if they just get to the end of the time of waiting and bare knuckle get through it, that everything will be made right? What do you tell them to take advantage of during this season? What to build in their own hearts and their lives during the time of waiting?
Well, I don't think God wastes our waiting, and I don't want us to waste it either. So the more we press into Christ and learn to believe his promises, the better we'll be at the end of our season of waiting if it ends. So I've experienced that myself in having a season of prolonged singleness. There were times that I felt like it was just something to get through, but the older I got, the more I realized this may be my life, and I needed to learn how to grow and trust God in it and let him sanctify me and make me more like him. And there's many things that he taught me and the relationship that he built with me during that time that are now helping me, even as a married woman, waiting on very different things. Honestly, it's made infertility so much easier because I already have walked through what does it mean, what does it say about God when he doesn't give me the thing that my heart longs for. So I think that as people wait, whether you're waiting for healing, waiting on a prodigal, let that waiting be a time of drawing near to Christ. In the same way that Advent is a time of reflecting on God's promises and his fulfillment, let your time of waiting, even if it lasts for years, be a time of drawing near to Christ in hope, in faith, as you wait for him.
We certainly don't have a natural leaning or inclination to be good at waiting. We live in a fast-paced culture where you can have food right now, instant everything. And with everything, even with the digital age, you have things digitally right at your fingertips. We certainly haven't learned a great deal of patience in our culture, but during the holiday season, you can see that even more so, can't you? Where there's so much more earlier selling of the Christmas and the marketing of the Christmas items, and even kids being impatient, going to all these Christmas parties and having these elements of celebrating before Christmas Day. Do you think there's a value in even the little things of Advent, of taking the time to learn the discipline of waiting, because we are going to face those experiences in our life where we want something, but God tells us to wait?
There is, and I think that when you wait for something, it's sweeter and more enjoyable, whether it's wait to open your Christmas presents and the anticipation builds up, or waiting to put up a Christmas tree or sing Christmas carols, whatever it is, I do think it builds the joy when you wait for something, you know, and over the course of an engagement, that joy in marriage builds and it climaxes on the wedding day when you have the thing that you've waited for. So I think there is definitely an element to that in Advent. As we wait for Christmas, we deny some of the celebrations in order to celebrate them more fully when Christmas comes. Now, at the same time, I would say one way we can take that sort of Christmas creep and that impatience that we feel and that anticipation and the longing children have for Christmas, and we can look at that and realize that is what we should be feeling as we wait for the return of Christ. We're far too settled. We should have impatience, but the impatience is not for some gift that we're going to be given. It's to be reunited with the one that our soul longs for. So in addition to the waiting of Advent, I would also look at the anticipation of Christmas and the fact that it's hard to wait and see this is what we should be like as we wait for Christ to return.
We've been talking with Betsy Howard about her book. It's called Seasons of Waiting, Walking by Faith When Dreams Are Delayed. And it's more than just the season of Christmas and Advent that we wait to this time of year. It's also anticipating the second coming of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and learning the principle of waiting as we all face those challenges in our daily lives. Betsy, thank you so much for being a part of the Many Voices for That One Message and sharing your own personal story, but also this book with our listeners.
Thank you, Adam. I really enjoyed it.
We hope you enjoyed this interview made possible by our ministry at Songtime Radio. You can find out more information about our ministry by visiting our website at songtime.com, where you can find this and other interviews on our podcast series, as well as our weekday broadcast, which includes teaching, interviews, and music. We also want to encourage you to sign up for our free monthly newsletter. It's got encouraging articles, and there is no obligation. To find out more information about our ministry, again, visit our website at songtime.com. This ministry is made possible by people just like yourself. We are 100% supported by our listeners. So if you have been blessed today, why not join with the many voices together for that one message, the gospel of Jesus Christ, with your donation to the Songtime Ministry. To make a donation, you can do so online at our website at songtime.com, as well as by mail. Write to us at Songtime Radio, P.O. Box 100, Barnstable, Massachusetts, 02630, or give us a call. Make a donation over the phone. It's 508-362-7070. On behalf of our entire Songtime staff and our own Dr. John DeBrine, the founder here at Songtime, who encourages you to grow in grace and not groan in disgrace, from Cape Cod, I'm Adam Miller. God bless.